Recently, a young lady writing for a news site from the United Kingdom wrote this, quote, "All I want for Christmas is full communism now." And this is interesting because there is a resurgence of appreciation for communism and socialism among many young people today. Well, we're going to talk about this subject right now with one of the leading experts on the subject of communism, including Soviet communism in our time. And his name is Dr. Paul Kanger. He's written several best-selling books related to communism. His most recent book is A Pope and a President, and it's all about how Ronald Reagan joined forces with John Paul II to help bring down communism in the Polish country, and that ended up having repercussions for the rest of Eastern Europe, as well as, I think, even the USSR, you could argue at least. Dr. Kanger, so great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. So, Paul, let's get into it. You teach young people at Grove City College, skulls full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh would call them. What is your opinion as far as young people today and their understanding about communism and socialism?
Well, I mean, at Grove City College, Jerry, I mean, we're a conservative Christian college. We're one of about five, right? not very many of us out there out of about 5,000 colleges in America. But, you know, you could probably count them on maybe two hands. But so my students, I mean, they know better. I mean, I could tell you that in teaching here in 20 years, I had only one student who was a communist or pro-communist.
Wow.
And even she had kind of learned that stuff when she was younger, and I don't know that she really bought it anymore. But we're certainly seeing that around the country. And, I mean, we have Gallup does a poll, not quite every year, but almost. Pew Research does some polls.
Mm-hmm.
The Reason Foundation, in fact, Reason and a group called RUPE, R-U-P-E, they've been teaming up to do polls where they ask millennials every year their opinions on capitalism versus socialism. And they've been finding for about the past 3 or 4 years that young people say that they prefer socialism over capitalism. And I think the latest poll, it was something like 44% to 42% or something like that.
Wow.
And meanwhile, Jerry, they're answering these surveys on their iPhones. This is an unbelievable thing. It's just, I mean, really, really just unbelievable to see. But it shows that that's what they learn in schools.
Yeah.
And in fact, here's one. This is gonna make you scream. And anybody driving right now, I'll give you five seconds to pull over. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, put the car in park. One of these surveys found, and mercifully, it wasn't a majority, but it was about a third, which is bad enough. About a third of millennials actually believe that George W. Bush was responsible for more deaths than Joseph Stalin. George W. Bush killed more people than Joseph Stalin. About a third of millennials believe that. And, you know, we'd like to beat up on millennials, but that same survey showed about a quarter of all Americans generally believe that. Now, how anybody who has been alive and breathing the last few years, I don't know what gulags they've discerned that George W. Bush set up anywhere, what forced collectivization or famine or five-year plan he did. I don't know how you could begin to even think that he would have killed more people than Stalin, who killed more people than Hitler.
Yeah.
Stalin's probably the greatest killer of all time, next to only Mao. Mao is the worst. Stalin killed minimum of 20 to 25 million people, probably as high as 60 million, maybe even 70 million. And anybody that could think or devise in their skull somewhere the idea that George Bush was a greater killer than Stalin, how could that be? Well, as insane as it sounds, if you spent the last 4 years in college hearing Bush bad, Bush bad, Bush bad, Bush evil, Bush evil, Bush evil, and never once learning about the evils of communism or Stalin, then, you know, you could probably come away thinking that George W. Bush killed more people than Stalin. So really, I think the answer to all this, how is all of this happening? Education, education, education,
yeah.
Or miseducation, miseducation, miseducation.
Oh, man, that is so true. In fact, Dr. Kennedy and I had a book called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born. We have a line in there which says, Hitler has slain his millions, Stalin his tens of millions. And yet,
yeah.
Hitler doesn't get away with it, nor ought he, you know, in terms of the general culture, but Stalin does seem to get away with it. And so does Mao. There are even restaurants, you know, one Chinese immigrant to America, refugee from China, actually he managed to escape from Chinese communism. He was just so shocked and angry, actually, that there was a, you know, restaurant in the L.A. area called Mao's Kitchen. And he went in there. He said, do you know who Mao was? Do you know what Mao did? You know,
wow.
Like, you know,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
It's
imagine
crazy.
A restaurant called, you know, Hitler's Kitchen or Goebbels Kitchen.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be really funny, right? Oh. How long would it take for the Anti-Defamation League to be out there protesting that?
Yeah.
Or and rightly so.
And rightfully
right?
so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, but when it comes to the communists, I'll do these nationally syndicated shows, radio shows, live call-in shows, and we'll talk about communism and all that is done. And this happens every time. In fact, the one host whose show that I've done this on now 4 or 5 times now, we see the pattern every time when we watch it unfold. The first, like, 2 callers will be young people just out of college. In fact, the last show, it was a student from the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Oh,
and they're telling me how uninformed I am, how socialism is good, communism is good, democratic socialism. And then, Jerry, it happens every time. After the first 2 calls, then follows usually somebody who's an emigre from China,
yeah.
Somebody from Cambodia, someone from Poland, someone from Vietnam. They're distraught. They're in tears. They're crying into the telephone saying, I can't believe this. I came here to the country that defeated communism to escape this, and this is what young people are learning?
Yeah.
And yeah, it is.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but a lot of those people who are crying into the phone, I know what they're doing because they're parents now. They're sending their kids off to the very colleges that are teaching these things.
Oh, that's awful. It's
yeah,
so true,
thinking,
though.
Oh, well, look, Swarthmore is ranked number 1 in the country in U.S. News and World Report under, you know, small liberal arts colleges.
Right.
Look, Yale's ranked number 3. Must be a great place to go to school. Must be really smart people there. But, in fact, they're getting ideological indoctrination. I mean, if you want to send your kids somewhere safe, send them to, you know, where I teach, Grove City College. Send them to Hillsdale. Send them to Regent, Patrick Henry, Liberty. Send them to a school like that.
Yeah.
But don't send them, you know, don't go to the top 25 list by whatever and think that they're going to learn anything but some of the craziest stuff imaginable on ideology, on communism, on socialism, and for that matter, on gender, sexuality, marriage, you know, race, LGBTQ issues, and on and on and on.
Hmm. All right, let me ask you a question. The great British historian Paul Johnson, in his book Modern Times, he said that the 20th century totalitarian state turned out to be the greatest killer of all time. Now, I've been in a debate with a friend of mine, a friendly debate, and he says, no, I think it's actually radical Islam. And either way, you know, you're looking at tens of millions of people. What are your thoughts in terms of the idea that the communists killed more people in the 20th century than have been killed in all the wars in times past?
Well, they have. In fact, R.J. Rummel, the late University of Hawaii professor who did the comprehensive studies Death by Government, it's called, and he said that it's governments that have killed their own people. That's the greatest
mass murder.
Yeah, yeah, government is. And he said, and of that in particular, it's communism led by governments, communist regimes that have killed more than any other. And I mean, in the 20th century alone, Jerry, we're looking at 100 to 140 million people
yeah.
killed by communist governments. And And that would be, I mean, the Black Book of Communism, the Harvard University
Press
book.
Yes, I have a copy of that. Yeah.
That says 100 million. And that only attributes about 20 million to Stalin.
Yep.
And so Stalin is probably more like 60 to 70 million. The Black Book credits Mao with 65 million.
That's
correct.
It
looks like Mao might have done 70 million. So between Stalin and Mao alone, you might have 130 million.
Wow. And then you add on to that Pol Pot and Lenin.
Right.
Lenin, by the way, set up the whole thing. Lenin should not in any way get off the hook, because Lenin is kind of the architect of all this. He's the architect of the terrorist state.
That's right. And I mean, if we have... Okay, if there's 100 to 140 million, that would be more than double the combined death tolls of World War I and World War II.
Wow.
And now add to that, on your show, I can bring this up without any controversy. We're not, and no one ever does, add in abortion to those death numbers. But Steve Mosher, who's probably the best China watcher out there, in his latest book, he says that the Chinese government one-child policy has led to the murder in the womb of about 300 million Chinese, about 300 million. And that's not hard to imagine. Since 1979, out of a country of 1.5 billion people, where they were doing the one-child policy in order to curb, quote-unquote, overpopulation, 300 million is, I would have probably guessed higher than that, actually. Add to that the greatest murderer through abortion in the history of humanity, the Soviet Union. They were, according to official Soviet statistics, the USSR was aborting about 7 to 8 million babies per year in the 1970s alone. So that would have been 70 to 80 million aborted babies in the Soviet Union in one decade of the 1970s. That's more than all of the deaths, all of the Soviet deaths through gulags, persecutions, purges, and everything from 1917 to 1989. So if you want to add abortion to this, and you mentioned Lenin. Lenin is the one who started the 24/7 abortion policy in the Soviet Union. In fact, Stalin...
What does that mean, 24/7?
They had abortion clinics...
Oh, running 24 hours every 7 days a week. Yeah.
That's right. And in fact, by the 1970s, they were being carried out by 3,000 full-time abortion doctors paid by the Soviet state. A woman in the Soviet Union, Jerry, didn't have freedom of religion, press, assembly, couldn't own a fur coat, her own business, or her own bank account. But if she wanted an abortion or a divorce, she was the freest woman in the world, right? She could go get that right away. And it got so bad that Stalin, since Lenin began this, Stalin in 1936 actually banned abortion because he was afraid that there wasn't going to be a Soviet state left in 20 or 25 years at the rate at which Soviet women were aborting their children. It was Khrushchev that brought it back in 1955.
Wow.
And Trotsky from abroad even protested Stalin by saying, "Oh, comrade, you cannot be a good communist and ban abortion." I mean, abortion is so important to being a communist.
Okay, so, we have about half a minute left to go. Can I ask you this question? Is there any square inch on this planet where socialism or communism has worked in any form at all?
No, none whatsoever. And you could find milder forms of softer, quote-unquote, democratic socialism in certain Scandinavian countries and Western European countries, but that's nothing like the full-blown Marxist-Leninist concept or what you see in even like Venezuela today or Zimbabwe, let alone in North Korea or Cuba. It never works, but it never stops leftists from trying it.
All right, everybody. We've been talking with Dr. Paul Kanger. You got to get his book, "The A Pope and a President." And by the way, the first 100 pages or so deals with communism in that book. Website would be visionandvalues.org. Hey, Dr. Kanger, always a pleasure, and look forward to talking to you soon again someday.
Anytime, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.